Deiphobus recounts to Aeneas how Helen betrayed him to the Greeks during the sack of Troy and how the Greeks basically tortured him to death. Deiphobus's appearance in the underworld is mangled. He's hideously mutilated. An interesting idea that the spirit in the underworld reflects the appearance of the body at the time of death. And he tells Aeneas that these horrible mutilations were inflicted on him by the Greeks when Helen had told them that Deiphobus was now her husband. Once again, the model of the Odyssey comes into play here. Odysseus encounters the soul of Agamemnon in the underworld, a former comrade in arms of his, whom he had not known was dead, and who tells him that he was killed by the treachery of his wife. Deiphobus here recounts a similar story to Aeneas. So once again, we see the model of the Odyssey picked up on and changed a bit. Past this region, where the souls of those renowned in war reside, the road divides into two forks. The left leads down to Tartaros, the area of the underworld where criminals are punished, and the right leads to Elysium, or the blessed groves, where the blessed, the good, receive their reward. Aeneas and the Sibyl pass by Tartaros and travel on to Elysium. The Sibyl points out some of the punishments that are going on in Tartaros. They look into Tartaros, so to speak, but they don't actually go into it. Instead, they go on to Elysium, and there they see the famous poets of old, and most importantly for Aeneas, they find the soul of Anchises. Aeneas' encounter with his father Anchises, of course, has models in the Odyssey. It's based on both Odysseus' encounter with the prophet Tiresias, for which purpose he had journeyed to the underworld in the first place, and the meeting with Anchises is also based on Odysseus' encounter with the soul of his dead mother. However, Aeneas' conversation with Anchises, his interaction with Anchises, is much, much longer and thematically much more important than anything in the Odyssey. The overall thematic significance of this encounter with Anchises has no analog in the Odyssey. When we first see Anchises' soul in the underworld, Virgil tells us that Anchises is contemplating the souls of his future descendants. He's standing in an area of Elysium near the river Lethe, the river of forgetfulness, looking at souls who are destined to be reborn as Romans. And after greeting Anchises, Aeneas is startled to see so many souls gathered around the banks of the river Lethe and asks Anchises what they're doing there, what's going on. Anchises explains that any soul destined to be reborn must first drink of the waters of Lethe, the river of forgetfulness, to forget its former life, forget everything that had happened in its last lifetime. Then and only then can it be reborn. Anchises then goes into a rather long disquisition on reincarnation, how it works, who gets reincarnated and why, that unfortunately I don't have time to go into. And he then begins to show Aeneas all the souls who will be born as famous Romans. This section of Book 6 is often referred to as the pageant of heroes. Aeneas and Anchises stand and watch as the souls of their future descendants walk past them. Anchises names each one, who each soul will be, and by so doing, foretells to Aeneas the glorious future of Aeneas' descendants. And the pageant of heroes, I think, has two main functions here. It reaffirms Aeneas' purpose. It shows him the men who are, mainly men, who are to be born of him if he continues on his way to Latium to found his destined city and race there. But it also serves a purpose for Virgil's audience, for Virgil's readers, because it reminds them, it reminds us, if you will, of the major events of Roman history. So for Aeneas, it's prophecy. For us, it's a recounting of the past of history. And probably not surprisingly, some of the most famous and important lines in the Aeneid are contained in the pageant of heroes. I'm thinking of two passages in particular. Anchises is speaking to Aeneas, but he's also speaking in a way to the souls that he's looking at as they walk past him, and in a larger way to his audience, to Romans in general. In one particular place, Anchises makes a statement that's also often called a programmatic statement for how Romans should behave in the future, what Romans will be and how they should behave. Looking at one particular soul who will be a great general.